These five tattvas incarnate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And thus the Lord executes his Sankirtan movement with great pleasure. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.5.32, there is the following statement regarding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishnam Sangopangashtra Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Prayayar Yajantehi Sumed Saha. In the age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord who is accompanied by his associates by the performance of Sankirtan Yagya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by his plenary expansion, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, his incarnation, Sri Advaita Prabhu, his internal potency, Sri Gadadhar Prabhu, and his marginal potency, Srivas Prabhu. He is in the midst of them as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is always accompanied by the other tattvas. Therefore, our obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are complete when we say, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Brinda. As preachers of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, we first offer our obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by chanting this Panchatattva mantra. Then we say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. There are 10 offenses in chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, but these are not considered in the chanting of the Panchatattva Mantra, namely, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasati Gaura Bhakta Brinda. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Mahabhadanya Avatar, the most magnanimous incarnation. For he does not consider the offenses of the fallen souls. Thus we derive the full benefit of the chanting of the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari. We must first take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learn the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, and then chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That will be very effective. Taking advantage of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, many unscrupulous devotees manufacture a Maha Mantra of their own. Sometimes they sing, Bhajanithai Gauradhe Shyam Hare Krishna Hare Ram, or Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Krishna Hare Ram Sri Radhe Govinda. Actually, however, one should chant the names of the full Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda. And then the 16 words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. But these unscrupulous, less intelligent men confuse the entire process. Of course, since they are also devotees, they can express their feelings in that way. But the prescribed method by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pure devotees is to first chant the full Panchatattva mantra and then chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. Om Jnanamitandasya Jnananjana Chalakaya Churu Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Juta Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajataham Sahakana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahakana Lalita Sri Vishakan Bitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Ancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
These five tattvas incarnate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And thus the Lord executes his Sankirtan movement with great pleasure. The verse prescribed for today is Adi Lila, chapter 7, text number 4. The title of this chapter, Lord Chaitanya in five features. I'm very grateful to all of you for being here today. It is described here how Lord Chaitanya expanded himself in these various ways for the purpose of giving the very essence of religion, of Dharma, to people with the least qualification. At the time, there was a very powerful influence of materialistic, egoistic domain over religion. Krishna tells in Gita, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamya. That the Lord comes again and again to reestablish the true principles of religion. But the nature of the world, the nature of the ego, the ahankar, is to take what's good and corrupt it by our own selfish motivations. We have a tendency to try to capitalize for our own purposes, even the purest thing. To even exploit the philosophy of unconditional love for our conditional agenda. The very basis, the Bhagavatam tells us, janasya mohoya maham mameti, is these misconceptions that we are endlessly addicted to. That I am this body, the designations related to this body, that's who I am. And whatever I may have, my abilities, my property, it is mine. I am mine. And essentially the whole purpose of dharma, spirituality, religion, is to cure us of this disease of I and mine. But because the human intelligence is so deep, so powerful, so strong, atato brahma jigyasa, the human intelligence is given to us for the purpose of understanding the absolute truth according to our capacity. We don't really find such major world problems caused by animals. Yes, I've seen, you know, huge elephants. I've seen it. If you go to the Himalayas with these big elephants, I've seen photographs too, where the elephant stands in front of your car. And you think that, you know, we are humans, we have created the car. But the elephant is just standing and looking at the car. And I'm not going to speculate what the elephant's thinking. But what it appears to me is he's thinking, you humans think you're so great, you're so powerful, you can invent these cars. Well, just see what I can do. And this is what they do. They just push the car with their nose, and the car turns over. And the whole family's inside the car. And then the elephant says, oh, that's the beginning. Then he starts crushing it with his feet and crushes everyone inside. That's why in places of Himalayas, the military closes the road after sunset. And they won't open it till about 9 in the morning. Because too many cars get crushed by elephants. And there's nothing you could do. It doesn't matter whether you're driving a little Indian ambassador or whether you're driving a British Bentley. For the elephant, makes no difference. It's like different color matchboxes. So they're very powerful. But how much of the ecological problems of the world, the problems of war, the problems of violence, the problems of all, how much is caused by elephants? Humans. Because even though we may not be so strong physically, we have this incredible power of intelligence. The very intelligence to understand the difference between matter and spirit. The intelligence to understand what is favorable to the eternal soul and what is unfavorable, and to live by those principles. But when we take that intelligence, which is actually the whole purpose of human intelligence, is to give us the power to transcend the ego and realize our eternal Sat-Chit Ananda identity as parts and parcels of Krishna. But when that intelligence is used to serve the purposes of the false ego, it's the most dangerous thing in all of creation. And whether it's in politics, whether it's in nationalism, whether it's in racism, or whether it's in religion, that same danger is there. So at the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the concept of religion was really in shambles. People who knew the scriptures, who were born in the Brahmin caste, that were supposed to be leaders of society spiritually, were taking their position and their knowledge to exploit people. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates to expose that, to give to the greatest scholars and the most common people the opportunity for the supreme perfection. And even to the most disqualified people in this age of Kali, where people, by the momentum of the way material energy and society works, are very much addicted to selfish activities, and who may have a whole track of karma on their record. Lord Chaitanya came to give everyone the chance. It doesn't matter. Dina hina yata chilo harinam utarilo. Tara sakshi jagai madai. Whatever you've done, just stop doing it. And take shelter of the holy name. And engage in these positive devotional activities. And you will attain the ultimate perfection in this life. Incredible. Krishna Prema. It is said that the Pancha Tattva, they broke open the treasure chest, the storehouse of Prema Bhakti, love of God. And the first thing they did is they plundered it and tasted it. And then in that intoxicated state, they distributed it to everyone. The only qualification is the willingness to accept it. And this is the symptom of one who actually tastes Krishna Prema, is they become intoxicated with love. And when you get intoxicated like that, you want to share it with everyone. That's the material intoxications, which are quite popular in the world today. So many types of intoxications. They perpetuate a selfishness. We become victimized by our intoxication. Recently, just a few weeks ago, a very, very well-known person, I was with him, and he wanted me to come to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting with him. And usually they only allow alcoholics. But I'm, you know, I just, whatever I am, I am. I went, you know. And these people, they're just describing the atrocities they committed under the influence of alcohol. Or drug addiction. It was all kinds of people like that. How they took it for relief from their anxieties in life. And it turned out, just like Prahlad Maharaj says, that in this world, the solutions to our problems, if they are not on the path of Dharma, if they're not connected to Krishna, then the solutions to our problems create bigger problems than the original problem. So we're in anxiety. So we want to somehow or other just kind of moderate it. Take some of the pain away from it. And we take some intoxication. But how many tens and millions of people, their lives have been totally ruined by it? And then that becomes the all-pervading problem of your life. And it's so hard to give up. For many, they just have to come down to the most miserable, horrible, helpless state before they approach the higher power of God to give it up. So we have this tendency for intoxication. But the intoxications of this world make us even more egoistic and more selfish. It's about what I feel like. Intoxications in this world have a tendency to make us more and more selfish. That's why drug addicts, alcoholics, so many people, you know, who get intoxicated by this, they think so much about satisfying the obsession of their own personal need that the decency of compassion or concern for others becomes practically irrelevant. Caused so much pain. But this intoxication of bhakti is exactly the opposite. The more we consume, the more we become addicted to Krishna, to Krishna's name, the more we become totally unselfish. Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us that the symptom of love of God is when it's in the heart, it's directed toward unconditional loving service to Krishna. But when that unconditional loving service to Krishna is expressed into the world, it takes the form of complete compassion, paradukaduki, complete compassion for all living beings. And this is the common characteristic of great saints. Why did Srila Prabhupada leave Vrindavan, Seva Kunj, Radha Damodar Temple, to go on a cargo ship over the ocean and then to live in the ghettos of the Bowery in New York City? Because he was intoxicated. He was intoxicated with love for Krishna and he simply wanted to share it with the world. He didn't care for himself. After heart attacks, he didn't pray, Krishna, give me health. He didn't pray, Krishna, give me some money. He didn't pray, Krishna, have somebody waiting for me when I arrive there in this strange land. He prayed, Krishna, give me the power to speak your message so it touches their heart and transforms. Give me the power to make them happy. Whatever suffering I go through, that's not important. That beautiful story of Ramanujacharya. His guru told him, this is quite amazing. Ramanujacharya is the acharya of Sri Rangam. He had hundreds and thousands of followers in the holiest place of South India. He was the acharya of the whole Sampradaya. And his guru, Mahapurna, told him, you will be especially blessed if you receive a particular mantra from Gostipurna. And he told him where he lived, some distance away. It was about 50 kilometers away. So Ramanujacharya walked all the way there, because there were no buses or trains or planes. There wasn't even rickshaws in those days. You walked. Really, it's quite amazing. You never see any pictures of the Panchatattva on bicycles. Bicycles are a simple technology, but they didn't have them in those days. People just liked to walk. It's actually quite nice. And wherever they could walk to, that's where they were supposed to go. And if they couldn't walk there, it didn't matter. Very simple life. So he walked 50 miles to this village. How long does it take you to walk 50 miles? Huh? It takes you a couple of days. Okay. Some people say 2 days, some people say 4 hours, but whatever, it's... He walked 50 miles. I'm sure he was a fast walker. And he went to the guru and he said, my guru has ordered me to take this mantra from you. And Gostipurna, he said, I have not given this mantra to anyone. He said, let me think about it. Come back another time. So Ramanujacharya had so many responsibilities at Sri Rangam. He walked all the way back, performed his duties. A couple days later, he walked all the way back to the village. It's 100 miles round trip. His guru said, you know, I haven't decided. Come back another time. Ramanujacharya, in the next couple months, he made that trip 18 times. So 18 times 100 is how many miles? Hmm? 1,800 miles. Very good. Without a computer, you figured it out. Still gives good hope in this age of COVID. The brain still has those functions. And his guru still wouldn't give him the mantra. And Ramanujacharya, he wasn't angry. For most of us, he's the acharya. He's the guru of hundreds of thousands of people. And his disciples are coming with him, some of them. Kuresh, Dasarathi, you know, his main disciples would come with him all the way, see him get rejected, come back, back forth, back forth. You know, he could have gotten mad, but instead he cried that I'm so unqualified that he won't give me the mantra. It's not because there's anything wrong with him, it's because of me. Such a person in such a high position, with such humility, and he's willing to say it publicly. Quite an incredible person. It's not that people lost their faith in him when he was saying how unqualified. Rather, because they understood what bhakti really means, it increased their faith in him. Because it was for real. So somebody told Gostipurna that Ramanujacharya, we saw him in Sri Rangam and we asked him, did you get the mantra? And he started crying and he said, I'm so unqualified, I'm not fit to receive it. And he's traveled back and forth 18 times. So Gostipurna decided, next time he comes, I will give him the mantra. So Ramanuja came. And Gostipurna said, this mantra is secret. It's the topmost secret in all of creation. I have never given this mantra to anyone. Because this mantra should never be heard by anyone who has the slightest tinge of ego, who has the slightest trace of material desires. Only to the heart that is completely cleansed of that can receive this mantra. And Gostipurna said, I have observed that in the entire world, you, Ramanuja, are the only person fit to receive this mantra. I will give it to you if you promise me you will never speak it to anyone. Then he gave him the mantra. And Ramanuja, when he heard the mantra, he started to cry in ecstasy and his limbs were trembling. It awakened such a state of ecstatic love in his heart. Love for Krishna in the form of Narayan. So then he, so grateful, he offered his gratitude to his guru, and then he was going to go back to Sri Rangam again. But what did that ecstatic love in his heart do to him? This is a very historical event, may I tell you. When he tasted the sweetness of this mantra, he was in such a state of ecstatic love for Krishna that as he was walking back through the town, every person he saw a brother and a sister. He saw Krishna's children. He saw that these poor people, they are struggling trying to find happiness in this world where everything is uncertain. Padam, padam, yadvi padam natesham, where there's danger for everyone at any time. And they're thinking that these temporary pleasures of getting some prestige, getting some fame, getting some sensual experience, getting some property, having some accomplishment, they're thinking that this is the goal of life. You see, what he was tasting, that treasure of love of God, he understood that it's in everyone, that everyone has to taste this. He couldn't tolerate. It caused him pain to see even people enjoying, even the most pious people enjoying things of this material world was causing him pain because they were bereft of this, of their true potential. It caused such a stirring in his heart that he called out, because everybody's looking for wealth. It's the way the world is. You know, all these traffic jams going into London and everything. People are looking for wealth. People are looking for happiness. So Ramanujacharya cried out, I have the greatest wealth that I want to distribute to everyone who comes. And he gave a certain time, something like noon. He said, come to the temple, to the main temple of the village. So the word spread that somebody had a great treasure. In fact, he said, I have the most precious jewels and I'm going to give them freely to anyone who comes. Oh, I know you're all devotees. But if somebody said that they were going to give precious jewels, how many of you, be honest, How many would it go? Anyways, everybody came. They were expecting material jewels. And they were really enthusiastic to receive them. So he saw thousands of people. So what he did, he had to somehow or other, you know, speak to all of them. So he climbed to the top of the temple, to the rooftop. And he looked down and he saw all these thousands and thousands of people eager for some mundane jewel. And tears of compassion. His love for Krishna, for Lord Narayan, was manifesting in the form of tears of compassion for all these people. And he was such an intellectual scholar. He knew exactly what he was doing and the consequences. He called out that I'm going to give you the most valuable of all jewels, the holy name of the Lord. I'm going to give you a mantra. And by chanting this mantra, you can taste love for Krishna. Just keep chanting it. You can be free from all the sufferings and anxieties of this world. And because he spoke with such concern for them, they believed him. They didn't want mundane jewels anymore. Because Ramanujacharya loved them and was concerned so much for their welfare, they opened their hearts totally to receive whatever he gave. And then he said, everyone, as loud as possible, cry out this mantra. Do you like to hear the mantra? It's a secret. How many of you have a tinge or more of material desires or egoism? According to Gostipurna, you are unqualified. Or let us say, we are unqualified. But according to Ramanujacharya, let it be. And he had them all cry out, just see how magnanimous he is. He went back and forth 18 times without shoes, walking on the road. 18 times, 1,800 miles minimum he went to receive it. And he was crying and begging for it. And here these people, nothing. They just, you know, showed up. And what at such incredible cost he was willing to sacrifice everything in his life to receive, he was willing to give it to them for free. And he told them, everybody, call out this mantra. Om Namo Narayanaya.
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 It is done. Ramanujacharya, seeing these people taking the mantra that awakens prema bhakti in their hearts, he was so happy. It was a greater happiness than tasting it himself. And everybody became so happy. It's not that they instantly obtained ecstatic love, but they got a glimpse of it. And they knew if they just keep chanting it, then it will be developed. That seed will become the fruit. So they were constantly chanting. Meanwhile, the guru, see, I went to that place last year. It's still there, that same temple. The very place where Ramanujacharya stood on his rooftop and chanted it to everybody. There's a beautiful altar there designating it. You can see it from the bottom. You could even go up there. And the house of his guru is just about a half a block away. So he heard Ramanujacharya screaming it at the top of his lungs, and he heard thousands of people screaming out the secret mantra that he refused to give anyone. He was transcendentally furious. Now Krishna tells in Gita, Trividam Narakashtidam Dvaram Nashitam Atmava, that Kama Krodha, that lust and greed and envy, these are the three gates that lead to hell. Anger, lust, anger, and greed. Those were the three. Lust, anger, and greed. But there's something called transcendental anger, where you become angry as an expression of your deep, selfless concern for the welfare of others. It's like a tool to help people to take things very seriously. But Gostipurna, he was really angry. He was furious. He could not tolerate that the secret that he was entrusted with by his guru was now revealed to the whole world forever. Hare Krishna. Now, if it was you or me, and we just did that, we would probably, you know, get out of that town as soon as possible. But you know what Ramanuj did? He went right back to his guru's room. I've been to that room where this all happened. Just a little room in a nice little house. It's exactly the same as it used to be. In fact, Gostipurna, he was a grihastha, so his family descendants still live in that house. And when Ramanujacharya walked in, he with folded hands, so humble, he bowed down to his guru, and his guru screamed at him. I never want to see your wicked, sinful face again. Out from here. I have entrusted you. You gave your promise. You broke your promise. For the offense that you have committed, you will suffer hellish miseries perpetually. Hare Krishna. Now, when somebody this powerful says it, it's not like, you know, some devotee saying it on the internet. This man was actually an acharya. He was a self-realized, liberated soul. You know, it's true. So Ramanuja, you know, with tears in his eyes, he said to his guru, Gostipurna, he said, yes, what you're saying is true. He said, but please understand my heart. You told me that anyone who chants this mantra will taste the sweetness of love for Lord Narayan and will be free from all suffering. So if all these thousands of people are freed from suffering, and all these thousands of people can taste love for Narayan, this is such a great thing. So many people getting so much. Then it's a very, very small cost if a little insignificant person like me suffers in hell perpetually. If that's what it means to give all these people Krishna's love, it's a small cost. And he meant it. He didn't just say it, he lived it. And Gostipurna started to cry. With a faltering voice, he said, "My son, you are a true saint, Mahatma. Your compassion, you have understood the essence of what pleases Krishna. From this day on, you are my guru, and I am your disciple." And then Gostipurna embraced Ramanujacharya with such love. He was never so happy or pleased in his life as he embraced Ramanujacharya and cried. And Ramanujacharya, he bowed down. He said, "No, no." He said, "You are the one who delivered all these people, not me. It was your mantra that delivered them all." He said, "But today, after you have delivered all these people, you have also shown such special blessing by embracing me." That's the symptom of a person who's actually tasting Krishna. Is that love manifests a state where there's no false ego. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayora Dasa 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 Anudas. One simply wants to serve. The greatest pleasure is to serve. Yes, Srila Prabhupada endured heart attacks and Jaladutta and poverty and death threats and all sorts of other crazy circumstances just to give love of God to others. In the Christian faith, you know, Srila Prabhupada describes, actually Jesus, when he was being judged, you know, when he was being told that they're after you, you shouldn't do this, he could have just left town. But he came right back into town and preached. Haridas Thakur, we described the other night. Haridas Thakur, he's just a simple person who doesn't have a penny to his name. The only thing he wore was a loincloth. That's all he had, was a little kopan. He wasn't educated in universities or any kind of school. He was just a simple man in that sense. But by chanting Krishna's names, by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, he had such compassion. And here he is standing, little Haridas, all alone. He's standing in front of the king, the Mogul king, and the Qazi. The Qazi is like a governor who has both spiritual and military powers. And there's tens and thousands of soldiers under the command of the king and the Qazi. And Haridas is standing there, just like a captured animal. And they tell him, "If you just keep it to yourself, whatever crazy things you're doing, we'll let you go. But if you continue to distribute this to others, we are going to humiliate you, torture you till you're dead." You see, when we hear these stories, we're actually supposed to be putting ourselves in that position. If we really want to understand and appreciate what's happening there, we have to connect to it. This is bhakti. You know, when we read about little Prahlad Maharaj, he was like that. Hiranyakasipu, he was a pure devotee of Krishna. He loved Krishna. Little Prahlad, he was just 5 years old. he would be playing with Krishna. Nobody saw him except him. He would feel Krishna touching him. He would see Krishna's smiling face. He was intoxicated with Krishna. He wasn't a bodybuilder. He was just a little five-year-old boy. And Hiranyakashipu was the most powerful man in the universe, after Brahma and Shiva. He had gigantic militaries. He conquered Indra. And here, Prahlad is standing before Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu, basically, all Prahlad would have to say when Hiranyakashipu asked, "What subject did you learn in school today?" All Prahlad had to do is just privately chant Hare Krishna, do his puja in private, and all he had to do is say to his father, "I liked history." And his father would have embraced him and give him everything of the kingdom. But what did Prahlad say? Tatsaru manye suravarya dehinam. My father, oh best of demons. But that was actually praising him. He was trying to open his heart by saying something he would like. Best of the asuras. Oh, he's understanding very nice. So for one who thinks he's this material body and all the things connected to the body are mind, that person is so much in ignorance. He's fallen into a deep, dark well where there's no water. There's only suffering. That's you, Father. Get out of that well of your egoism and your material attachment and go to the forest of Vrindavan. Hiranyakashipu was furious. And Prahlad kept coming back, even after he was tortured again and again. He kept coming back and telling his father the same thing. That's the nature of that awakening of love. We're more concerned with others. And that's also the process by which we awaken that love. Seva. Unconditional service. So Haridas Thakur, when he was given a choice, he said, "I cannot stop. I'm tasting Krishna so nicely. I have to share this gift with the world." And he was beaten in 22 marketplaces and tortured. Now, when we listen to these stories, we put ourselves in their position. What would we do? Really, who are these people? We can't imitate them. But we could understand, this is what's great. It's such an extreme, but it reveals to us this is what's great. And then we understand our own deficiencies. If we become grateful for what's great, then we can actually strive to make that our aspiration in life. We can strive to be like the king who had the power to torture Haridas, or we could strive to be like little Haridas who had nothing but love of God, which is the standard that we want. So the Panchatattva, first it describes they plundered, they broke open the storehouse of love of God, of Krishna Prema. Because in previous ages, it was something very, very secret. Ramanujacharya He broke something open that was kept secret and distributed it widely. The Panchatattva was doing this on such a higher level even. They were taking the realization of the gopis of Vrindavan, their ecstatic love for Krishna, the most secret of all secrets, the ultimate revelation of all the Vedic scriptures. What is it that the Panchatattva is giving? There are the four Vedas, they are the Upanishads, there are the Itihastas, the Puranas, the Samhitas, the Angamas. So many different Vedic literatures, and the culmination, the crescendo of all of them, according to the compiler Vyas himself, Vedaishcha Sarveraham Eva Vedyo Vedantakrit Veda Vedevachaham, is Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyasadeva describes under the instruction, he wrote all these Vedas, then he summarized the essence of all of it in the Brahma Sutra. And he still wasn't happy. Narada Muni told him, you haven't described clearly the essence, the ultimate culmination, Krishna's pastimes, the love of the gopis. And the culmination of that is the love of Sri Radha, the source of all love. So Vyasadeva gave us the Srimad Bhagavatam, culminating in the completely pure, selfless, ecstatic love of gopis and Sri Radha. Most secret of all secrets. And the Panchatattva, they broke open that secret treasure chest of the love of the Brijavasis, and they tasted it. How did they taste it? By the performance of Sankirtan. At the house of Srivas, the Panchatattva, they wouldn't let anyone in because it was just too secret. Yes? They would be alone. They would lock the doors. Only the purest hearted devotees. At one time, in the house of Chandrasekhar, Lord Chaitanya said, today I will dance in the mood of the goddess of fortune, Radharani. And no one is allowed to see this dance if they have a single trace of material desires. So all the devotees started to cry. Because a devotee never thinks that they don't have material desires. Devotees always think themselves that they're very fallen. If you think you're fallen, then you could actually fall in love with Krishna. But if you actually act fallen, then that's another subject matter. The most elevated people think they're most fallen. Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, when they approached Lord Chaitanya, they said, we are the most fallen. If you want to generate compassion to the fallen souls, then our claim is first. You'll really get a good reputation if you deliver us. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, when they were traveling around Navadweep and they saw Jagai and Madhai, they focused completely on them, Nityananda Prabhu, because they're the most fallen. What were we talking about? Huh? Panchatattva, yeah. So the Panchatattva, they broke open the Srimad Bhagavatam's essence, the crest jewel of all spiritual revelation. And through kirtan, they tasted it in the house of Srivas. They wouldn't let anyone else in. So when Lord Chaitanya said this, that I will dance, but nobody with any material desires is allowed to attend. All the devotees started leaving. And he said, no, I'm not talking about you. You could stay. And as he was dancing, he said, I'll do it until the sunrise. So all night long they were having kirtan, and Lord Chaitanya was dancing so beautifully. Like he never, in a special way. And the night passed so fast. And then the sun started rising. And the devotees, when they saw the sun rising, they understood it's going to be the end of the kirtan. According to Vrindavan Das Thakur, they were so angry with the sun that it appeared that their glances were going to burn the sun to ashes. Think about that. Now, if we do an all-night kirtan, usually we're kind of waiting for the sun to rise. That's how they were tasting kirtan, the chanting of the holy name together. But then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the Panchatattva, they tasted it. They were intoxicated by Krishna Prema through Harinam. And they wanted to distribute it then everywhere, to everyone. Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda and Haridas Thakur, go everywhere. Every house, every store in the marketplace, every bathing ghat where people are, every school where people are learning, wherever you see any living being, go with this message. Worship Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Chant the names of Krishna. Krishna's your mother. Krishna's your father. Krishna's the real treasure of wealth. Krishna's your life and soul. And their compassion was such that if anybody actually did it, Nityananda, Haridas, and Lord Chaitanya himself, if he would see anyone chanting Krishna's name sincerely, Lord Chaitanya would cry. With his own hands, he would bow down to those people. Nityananda, Haridas, and Mahaprabhu himself would bow down to the people chanting. Personally give them garlands. Personally decorate their bodies with sandalwood. Personally embrace them and say, you are my life and soul. That was their spirit. To anyone, everyone. This is the Panchatattva. And we read about the different members of the Panchatattva. We can go on and on. It's already 10 o'clock almost. The sun rose a long time ago. Srivas Thakur was constantly being attacked. But he just wanted to give Krishna Prem to everyone. Nityananda Prabhu, Jagai, and Madhai, they beat him with a pot with the intention to kill him. They made him bleed. And he was still pleading with them to take the name of Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, people were threatening to beat him and torture him. And he took sannyas just so that they would listen to what he had to say. And he could give them Krishna Prema. This is the Panchatattva. They were tasting the sweetness of love of God and they wanted to give it everywhere. And whatever rules and regulations, whatever orthodoxies were favorable for tasting it and giving it to others, they accepted. And whatever wasn't, they didn't care. This was Srila Prabhupada's spirit. This was the Panchatattva's spirit. They didn't accept offenses. So in Srila Prabhupada's purport today, he's explaining the most effective way of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra is the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Radha Bhavaduti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna with the Bhav, the Mahabhava, the love of Sri Radha, and with her beautiful golden complexion, come to give that love to the world. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Godatvishenama. Most magnanimous. Giving to everyone this Krishna Prema. Just accept it. Through these simple instructions, just to live by these principles. This is Sri Chaitanya. And he did it with the Panchatattva. Nityananda Prabhu, Srivas, Gadadhar, Advaita Prabhu. He manifested himself in these five features. To taste the sweetness of love of God and give it to others. And it's very special that he did it in this way. He sent six Goswamis to Vrindavan. He distributed love of God in Navadvip and in Puri with his associates. Because Sankirtan means together. The full kirtan. Haridas Thakur would do his japa, but the culmination of his japa was when he was along with his devotees chanting in congregation to distribute to the whole world. What a taste. Sometimes we think Haridas was just alone in a cave chanting. He was. But what did he do when he came out of the cave? He tasted the sweetness of being with devotees chanting kirtan. Every year in Rath Yatra, Haridas Thakur, who sat and lived in his little Siddha Bakula and chanted 300,000 names every day, but when the Rath Yatra started, he was the lead dancer every year in one of the parties. In the march to Chankazi, he was one of the lead dancers. So the idea of Panchatattva is the Lord expands himself to show the beauty of association of devotees. Tasting the sweetness of love of God in the association of devotees and spreading that treasure everywhere. And by taking shelter of the Panchatattva, because the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is Hare is Radha, Ram, Krishna are names of Krishna. And the Panchatattva is that same Radha Krishna who have appeared in this world not to accept, to just overlook offenses and give love of God to even the least qualified. So when we take shelter of the Panchatattva by sincerely, Prabhupada's not just saying to chant the Panchatattva mantra. Prabhupada's telling us to take shelter of the Panchatattva through the mantra. Then the doors open wide by which we can genuinely, Prabhupada says, effectively take shelter of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda as we chant the Maha Mantra.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Today we have begun the Julan Yatra. And now I just remembering I was asked to speak on Julan Yatra. So I'll begin class now. Some introductory words were spoken already. But in reference to what we're speaking, the Panchatattva, plundering the storehouse of love of God and that extension of wanting to share it with others. That is what Jhulan Yatra really is for us. Jhulan Yatra is that most glorious, elevated pastime of selfless love, where the whole temple, the whole community, our happiness is in seeing Radha Gokulananda on a swing, enjoying. Now, if you and me want to be on that swing, then we're not going to be able to experience real happiness. But we're happy to see, it's our greatest pleasure to see Krishna and Sri Radha decorated with flowers, being offered wonderful, wonderful bhoga, having their special alankar, their ornaments and their clothes. And they're on a swing, enjoying. When you're a little child, did you ever swing? How many of you swang when you were a child? You were all swingers. So children like to swing. There's something about it. When you're an adult, actually, I'll make a confession with you. 4 days ago. You've heard of my friend Gary?
Yes.
Well, Gary and I met in the town where we grew up 4 days ago. And we went to the school. You know, I'm a Swami, but we went on the swing. So I was thinking, you know, Radha and Krishna swing, so I'm going to swing. And I got on the same swing. I used to swing and be happy like anything when I was a little boy in school. And I got dizzy as anything. So why is that? I guess it's because now I'm supposed to take pleasure in seeing Radha and Krishna swing. If I try to swing, I got nauseous. Anyways, that's another story. But devotees come together simply for the pleasure of Radharani and Krishna. How beautiful. We're all singing. We're all offering flowers. We're all feeling happiness. Not only in seeing Radha Gokulananda enjoying on their swing, but we're enjoying seeing all the other devotees enjoying seeing them on their swing. This is bhakti. It's not about me. It's about Krishna. If you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is nourished. Krishna is the root. Radharani is the root. If they're pleased, it brings the greatest happiness to us, to creation, to all of existence. That's where real happiness is, in watering the root. Putting the water of our love, our affection, our service. And it is described by our acharyas that Radharani is on the swing with Krishna, dueling the Jhulan. And all gopis, Lalita, Vishaka, Trichitra, Tungavidya, Induleka, Champaklata, they're swinging and they're offering sweet songs and playing mridangas and karatals and veenas and flutes, and they're making wonderful, wonderful flower arrangements, fragrant garlands, and they're pushing Radha and Krishna, and everyone is in total happiness seeing Krishna enjoying Radha and Radha enjoying Krishna on their swing together. Everyone is. Nothing else could be higher. But then Radharani, she gets off the swing. And sometimes she puts other gopis on the swing and pushes them because she wants to see them enjoying with Krishna. And actually, they just want to see Radharani enjoying with Krishna. The gopis will, just to make Radharani happy, they'll sit and enjoy being with Krishna on the swing. There's no selfishness. Everything is for Radha. Everything is for Krishna. This is happiness. Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir hoksha jaya hoitaki aprati hata yayatma suprasediti. The supreme dharma is loving service to the Supreme Lord. Such service must be unmotivated by any selfishness or egoism, and must be uninterrupted by any hurdles or situations that may come in life. You know, in the Olympics downtown, they're jumping over every kind of hurdle. They're taking sticks and pole vaulting above. There's so many. The whole idea of Olympics and athletics is overcoming obstacles. Yes, whatever it is, you're swimming, trying to overcome the obstacles of the water, get to one side and the other, and then everybody else is an obstacle. And football, they're beating each other and kicking each other. So many obstacles. The Olympics of bhakti is overcoming the obstacle of selfishness and ego. They're big hurdles. And whatever happens in this world, we don't give up our integrity, our dignity, our morality, our enthusiasm to serve without expectations. Selfish. Whether people love us or hate us, whether they praise us or blame us, whether in good health or poor health, whether we're in pleasure or pain, honor or dishonor, whether it's a beautiful sunny English day or whether it's gloomy and gray and cold and rainy, we're happy to see Radha Gokulananda on their swing. Doesn't matter what happens out there. Our happiness is in swinging the deities. Their pleasure. That's the attitude of devotional service. So this beautiful Julin Yatra ceremony that we have every year for only a few days, it's a festival of love. It's a festival of selfless love. It's a festival where we're all coming together to celebrate giving happiness to Krishna, and all finding the ultimate happiness in doing that. Just see how Krishna's happy with Radha on their swing. This is the spirit of Sankirtan. This is the gift of the Panchatattva. It is in this mood that we should be chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Ram. Hare Ram. Ram Ram. Hare Hare.
And it's interesting because the last day of Julin Yatra is Balaram's Jayanti. Rajendra Nandana Jay Shachi Shuta Hiloshe Balarama Hoilo Nitai. Krishna, Rajendra Nandana came as Sachi Suta, Lord Chaitanya, and Balaram came as Nitai. And Balaram appeared to prepare the womb of Devaki for Krishna's arrival. Nityananda Prabhu prepared our hearts to receive Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy. So first there's the Jhulan Yatra, we accept the spirit, and then we get Nityananda Prabhu's mercy as the culmination, and then Janmashtami. Selfless devotion is the way to receive the mercy of the great gurus. And then Krishna appears within our heart. Love for Krishna. The prayojana. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Radharani ki jai. Shri Gokulananda Dev ki jai. Hari Nam Sankirtan ki jai. Shri Pancha Tattva ki jai. Gopimanandi. Thank you very much.